Hello, it's The Whip Around with your hosts, Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space.
Words.
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me.
So to my question, you did.
This is my segment.
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
And Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yo.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
This is a show about news, but we're going to talk about it in a way you're not expecting. We're going to take some current topics, flip them on their head, and examine them from angles that other people are too scared to talk about or, quite honestly, too ashamed to. So get ready for some foul language, get ready for some pop culture spoilers, and remember, nothing on the show is safe, nothing is sacred. Get ready. Here comes the Whip Around.
The Whip Around is a go. We are here. It is Wednesday. Wink, wink. And we are in your ears. And I, Sean Hayes, am here in studio once again with...
Jill Yapsuga.
Indeed. And through the pipes of the interweb, which is how that works, we've got...
Dave DiOrio.
Oh, I like that. We got into the Basso. The Basso DiOrio.
Yeah.
Dave the Basso DiOrio.
Yeah, that was nice.
We've got quite a show, first of all. But because I listen to Podadelphia, I want to make sure and mention that I'm on Twitter. I'm Jonathan underscore B underscore Hayes or something. I'm on Instagram under Sean Hayes, just S-H-A-U-N. And I'm on Facebook again, as of this week.
I noticed.
Just look for me on Facebook. I'm being snarky again. And Dave, you're good at this. What's the here's where Dave can be found spiel?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at fat underscore lobster.
Bang. Jill, where can they find you? Where should they even bother to look for you?
Realistically, only look for me on Instagram.
Okay.
And
Ill Sugar.
Ill Sugar.
You guys have cool online names.
That's my rap persona.
I'm awful with it. And so like on Twitter at one point, I think it's what I have now. I was like, I got to do something. So I was like, Jonathan Wiltshire the third. Like I suck at Twitter. So follow me on Twitter to see someone use it in the shittiest way possible. I wanted to cede the floor to Dave here, though, because of an event that happened, quote unquote, 2 days ago, which is actually today. So I want to give the floor to Dave for a little sadness update, I guess.
Well, I mean, I don't have like a speech prepared about this, but it's just a sort of a bummer of a day.
Hey, hold on. Everybody be quiet. Go ahead, Dave.
It's just a bummer of a day today because today Stan Lee died. And that's, I mean, look, the guy at 95, like, good run. We should all be so lucky, right?
Good game.
Right.
Good hustle.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, it's a creator of... something that gave a lot of people a lot of joy, myself included. So it's significant. It's not nothing.
It's not nothing. You know what? That's a segment in the making. That's
it
like
really
a bud.
Is.
That's like a little segment bud. But it's not nothing.
Nothing.
If Dave ever comes
in,
he's like, I'm just not angry. Okay, well, you need to have an it's not nothing.
That's right.
Smelled a violet today. You know what? I don't like those flowers. It's not nothing with Dave DiOrio. Jill, your thoughts on Stan Lee's passing at 95?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad, but yeah, it's like anybody who passes when they're over 90, you're like, well, this isn't a tragedy at this point, unless they die in tragic ways, but it does appear that was the case for him. So, yeah, it is, I mean, it is kind of like the end of an era, but as someone who didn't really read comic books,
yeah,
it's not, I don't have the same, like, guttural, emotional...
I like
response
that description.
To it that a lot of other people
guttural
have.
Emotional, like ugh, like guttural. I don't care.
Oh my god!
For the reason you said, like I have respect for everything he built, what he did, and
right.
You know that he was sort of like the I don't know, the proudly nerdy guy back before that was safe,
right?
You know, like the little Excelsior things in the back of the comic book and all that. But yes, once someone passes 90, I don't. It's like once they die, okay. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's sort of like, yeah, well, that's good, like, good run. Unless, and no, even if they were, like, murdered by their, I don't know, dog or whatever. I'm still, if dog bites their dick and balls off and they die because they put peanut butter there. Reference. But I'm still like, yeah, you ruined their exit note, I guess. But who?
Right.
I don't care. I'm unmoved because you already made it. It's bonus. Right. It's bonus round. Right. It's like in Super Mario Brothers when you beat the level. Super Mario Brothers. What is it? Super Mario World, right, Dave? When you get them, you get to the little thing where you have to hit the box and match up the sure. symbols,
yeah, yeah.
and then you get that.
Oh,
many.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, if I, you know, however many I get, it's all bonus. So, you know, Stan Lee got, you know, 5 bonus mushrooms when he hit 90, and you know, and that's it. By the way, okay. Dave and I were recently on a video game podcast, Stone Age Gamers. Check it out. But yeah, sure, Stan Lee, way to die, not
when you're supposed to.
Right. Way to do it the way you're supposed to. Coloring within the lines. Jill, you want to do a segment?
Yeah.
Let's do a segment that Jill is contractually obligated to call.
Here's the thing. Good Lord.
And she's not contractually obligated. She's here out of the kindness of her heart.
This week's thing is consent. So
oh, you told me this wasn't too... All right.
Especially when it comes to romantic and any sort of sexual act, both parties should be able to consent. And last week's episode, I was so angry... For multiple reasons. But in the one story
listening
that Sean
to
alluded
show?
To, that Sean brought up, if you engage in a sexual act with an animal, that animal cannot consent. So that's rape. And guess what? Your ball privileges are gone. Like, you deserve to get your dick ripped off,
your
chewed
off.
Your
ball privileges are gone.
They're revoked. And the fact that that dog got put down was actually what, like, threw me over the effing edge.
It's
I was
bad,
like,
right?
I don't understand how other adults, present for the aftermath, would be like, you know what? Yeah, you deserve to have these back. No, no, no. You'd be put down. Your dog should be put down.
That's what I said.
That's such BS.
Dave,
I've never been so livid about a segment, I think, on this show.
Dave may not have heard that yet, but I'm sure he gets the gist.
I think someone should have rescued that dog. Like, I'll take the dog.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, Jill, I didn't mean to step on you.
But no, that's fine.
But ball privilege is lost as soon as you violate consent across species, right? I mean, once you're sexual with an animal, probably you're in a bad place. If something bad happens to you, probably should.
It's on you, man.
Right? And it probably should. Would you argue, Jill, that if you do something sexual with an animal and nothing bad happens to you, isn't that the real injustice?
Yeah, only if there's no afterlife for you to be punished for,
Sure.
That is.
Well, let's do this, Jill. Let's do a here's the thing... afterlife special. You are now in charge of hell. You don't have to live there even.
No, it's
saying it's been outsourced to you if you don't want to be there, you know. But you're in charge. Okay. It's cozy wherever it is.
Yeah, sounds great.
Here comes this guy.
Right.
Who spread little Jiffy on the tackle.
Yeah.
And it was bitten off.
Yeah.
They later put the dog down.
Yeah.
Years in the future, you know, peanut butter boy dies.
Right.
Goes to hell. What's the punishment that Jill gives to this idiot down in hell?
I've always found the punishments, the, like, people who think about and speculate about what happens in hell, I've always found the ones to be the most horrifying to me would be for the same thing to have to happen over and over and over again. So he would have to get those ripped off in succession for eternity and remember the pain of each one, but not have the pain lessen.
It's like a Prometheus situation.
Yes.
Peanut butter Prometheus. Promethe butter. I don't know.
But so, like, no pleasure before, just literally just...
Just over and over and over.
Yes.
All right. So you're very Olympian. You have an Olympian sense of ironic justice.
Yeah. I will say, too, I never thought that was an urban legend. Because...
go ahead.
Well, because bestiality, unfortunately, is a thing. Like, it's not like Richard Gere with putting a hamster up his butt. Like, that on the surface, you're like, that also just doesn't sound like that would make sense. But, like...
Or does it?
Dogs like peanut butter, so it makes sense that there's going to be freaking people out there who are like... this sounds like a good idea. I'm going to do this. And then you're like, oh, my God. What? Like,
well, the urban legend as I know it, and you guys let me know. Jill didn't know, but Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. The urban legend as I know it is that it was a woman.
Yeah, her husband comes home.
What I heard was there was a surprise party. And she came down the stairs into the den or whatever where the surprise party was. And she was calling the dog. came downstairs, lights go on, surprise, and she's got like peanut butter all over her crotch calling for the dog.
I think I heard that one, but I thought it was like her husband walked in or something.
Okay. Well, there are many riffs, right? Many but either way, variations on a theme. Dave, is that what you heard?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I heard it.
Okay. Yeah. I know that that story is never legend, but I definitely believed that there were people out there doing it.
Okay.
Because.
All right.
Gross.
Also,
and you all have a special place in Jill's hell.
That's right. On that particular note, in fact, let's go ahead and take a quick break before we come back and talk some weird news. So far, we have actually done stuff on beloved icons dying, on consent, on going to hell. Let's see what joys we can dig up in Act 2 and 3. You, my God, you can only go down from here.
Satan.
Hello, thank you for calling the Whip Around Helpline. For English, say yes. For Spanish, say Gonzalez Gonzalez.
Hello, is this 911? Hello?
Thank you for choosing English. How may we direct your call today at the Whip Around Helpline?
My dog bit my dick off!
You've said subscribe to the Whip Around. We've now subscribed your podcast application to the Whip Around.
What? Bit my balls off too, hello?
You've said 5 stars. Thank you very much for rating the Whip Around 5 stars. Is there anything else we can help you with today?
I'm watching him chew it up. He's chewing it up. He's going to swallow my dick and balls. Help me.
Thank you for leaving a positive review. We greatly appreciate this. Is there anything else we can help you with today?
Kill this dog.
For peanut butter related problems, please stay on the line.
All right, I'll wait. Fuck you, dog. I love you, Whip Around.
Welcome to Act 2 of The Whip Around. And before, I know, you're thinking weird news. I'm pumped. I'm stoked. I'm not even going into work because I'm going to sit here and listen to the rest of this amazing podcast. Rate and subscribe, please. Thanks. But before we get into our weird news, before we get into the twisted heart of the matter, we've got a returning guest. We've got someone that you heard last week who had a lot of fun with us doing trivia and silliness, who's now here with what I'm thinking is probably the story of the decade. Nay, the story of the epoch. Is it epoch? Epoch? I think it's epoch. Let's say it's epoch.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Sorry, Jill.
That's fine.
What is it, Jill?
I say epoch.
Ooh, that's even better. The story of the epoch. So I don't think I've oversold this too much. We'll find out. We'll find out because we've got here, all the way from last week, Stephen Bost. Welcome,
you guys,
Steve.
Rock.
Woo!
Thanks. Hi, guys.
What's up, Steve?
Remind everybody who you are, Steve.
I'm a trivia quiz master living in Bethlehem. I know all of the answers, and I ask many of the questions and host trivia all around the valley.
Steve, you've got a fantastic story that you specifically wanted Dave to be here to hear. So, Dave, I'm curious what you're feeling as we move into this rare opportunity of a guest sharing news, and he wanted you to be here for it.
Yeah, I never like that. That's always whenever someone's like, I have to talk to you, I don't know. I always get really anxious.
Well, Dave, you got a big bullseye on you right now. All right, buddy?
All right.
All right. So here's what I wanted to talk to you about. All right. I did my annual Halloween trivia game at the Bethlehem Brewworks this year. Halloween happened to be on a Wednesday. So it was the 31st. Perfect. Yep. All the usual shenanigans. I build up questions all year long that are gross or weird or off-putting. And it was 10 years. And I can't believe that I never got to this topic, even though I read about it as a child when I ate up every book in the library that was about the paranormal, anything.
All right.
UFOs, ghosts, spontaneous combustion, whatever.
What about the hairy hands? Remember the hairy hands would jerk a steering wheel and wreck a car?
I think I have heard that, yeah.
Right?
What are you?
No.
Get back
what
to the library,
that?
Steve. Like, there were like this. There's a stretch of road in the UK somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
Where these like these disembodied hairy hands grab a steering wheel and force someone off the road.
Well, that's just nonsense, if I may say so.
Yeah, that's dumb. Anyway.
No,
no way that happened.
I never heard of that.
Look it up, so, brother.
It's late into the game, right? And the questions, there's no more multiple choice, right? This is the worth 40 points each. They were 30 points when your team played. Now they're worth 40 each.
I feel like, all right,
these are the big ones. And Dave, the question I asked the room, not every sighting involved the fiery red eyes or the belching of blue flame, but for decades in the 19th century, there were reports of a demon-like figure leaping and spreading mayhem in the streets and roofs of London. This being was known as whom? I think you know.
Oh, well, come on. It's Spring-Heeled Jack.
Absolutely. There was like a little picture in a tiny book, or well, a big book of the paranormal, and that picture stuck with me forever. It looked like a woodcut or something. It was like a guy dressed like a ringmaster, but, you know, like a long spirally mustache. I mean, it traumatized me. It stayed with me. I never asked a question about this category till last week. How many players do you think got it right?
A big donut. Not a single one.
It can't have been none. None?
No one heard of that.
What? I'm surprised.
Did you see what happens? Do you see what happens if you don't listen to the whip around? Do you see how you're unprepared?
Lost in life.
You lose.
And I have listened to, I've heard you mention it a number of times. It's like almost like a callback. It's very comforting,
it's
actually.
Mascot.
But yeah, that was.
I like
so
that
I sprang,
we're so obscure.
Well, you know.
All right, Steve, thank you again. We will talk to you soon.
Keep up the great work, all of you. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Bye, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. So that was kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Can we move on to the heart and soul of the whip around?
Sure thing.
Or where I'm from, the whip around. Pennsylvania.
Where are you from?
Pennsylvania. Who knows, Dave? Parts unknown.
Whip around.
The whip around.
Whip around.
So, yeah, it's time for weird news. So, Jill is going to lead things off. Jill, what have you got?
I'm going to read the headline to this, and then I'll give
I hope
you some
it's
details.
Out loud.
Yes, just to myself. A young man died after eating a slug as a dare. And, may I say, so 10 years ago, a Sydney, Australia man named Sam Ballard ate a slug on a dare.
Oh, gross.
And then, like, the next day or a few days later, he had some pain in his legs. Basically, he got this disease. It's like a rare...
There's a disease.
He was infected by rat lungworm, which is a parasite that's normally found in rodents, who then, you know... Who
I wish it was rat lungworm.
Yeah, basically, 10 years later, he finally died from it.
Finally, indeed. 10 years of rat lungworm.
I just think... It made me think about, like... What's the weirdest, grossest thing you've ever eaten? As well as your initial thoughts. I'm very curious to find out.
I also would like to know who the person is who dared him to do it. Like, is he like, I got you so bad. I got you so bad.
Oh, yeah.
You idiot.
So that one line in here says, a slug came. I will not even attempt to do an Australian accent. A slug came crawling across here. The conversation came up, you know, should I eat it? And off Sam went. Bang. That's how it happened.
How old was he when he...
He would have been 19 when it happened. So, you know, young.
So a 19-year-old.
Did the stare.
Dave, what's your reaction?
Look, man, we went to college with some people that I've seen eat some bizarre things.
True.
I mean, it always seems like a good idea at the time to eat a live insect. But... Yeah, who knew that these would be the consequences?
What is a slug? It's not an insect, right? Because it.
Oh, you know, I don't know what it is. What it's considered?
A mollusk.
Maybe
an annelid. I have no idea. Ugh. I'm thinking you really shouldn't eat anything that's living in Australia. Like, you know what I mean? Like, unless you are a specialist in that field.
Right.
If I were in Australia, I wouldn't. The only reason I would go outside. Would be to get away from the spiders in the corners of my house. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm not... No, you can't fuck around in Australia. That is Earth's nightmare closet.
True.
Lovely people, lots of culture, yada yada.
Yeah.
But the animals and the flora is trying to kill you, mate.
I don't know. I make it a rule just that in life not to eat anything that's too viscousy.
Yeah, true. Absolutely.
The
slug is a gastropod, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
Just look that up.
Okay.
Huh.
That's cool. Still, don't do it. Does that mean
But they are part of the bigger family of mollusks, so I was...
Oh.
That sounds right there on it.
Good one, Dave. After you also were the one who said insect, but that's, you know, who's counting?
But what's the weird... I'm curious to know, like, what's the weirdest thing that you guys have ever eaten?
Well, before I answer that, I want to say that in seventh grade, there was the somebody in one of the like a science. I was waiting to go into my seventh grade bio class.
Okay.
And everybody was like, oh, my gosh, it's dissection day. I think it was like the first dissection day of like our school career.
Yeah.
And they were dissecting a worm, some kind of worm. Well, we were every class.
Right.
Like one or every table had, I don't know. And there was a commotion in the classroom. Evidently, some kid at his table was dared to put like some of this dissected worm in his mouth, and he did it, and he got in big trouble and whatever. And what occurred to me was like, that's not even like a fresh worm off the ground, which is bad enough. This thing's been like formaldehyde and whatever.
That's more dangerous.
Yeah.
What was that children's book? Wasn't there a children's book with the kid that ate all the worms? Or
how to eat fried worms.
That's right. Yeah,
well, this was definitely not a fried worm. It was a formaldehyde worm. Bam! Oh, gosh. So the creepiest thing?
Yeah, what's the weirdest weirdest thing you've ever eaten? I have two.
Why don't you lead us off? Answer your own question first, Jill. Let me think.
I have had beef tongue, which I did not like. Tasted gross. And then in my mind, I was thinking this, because I could see that.
You knew.
It was a classroom. Right? Yeah, it was like in high school, we had a really awesome like social studies teacher, and he brought it in. He made it himself along with like a garlic aioli.
I don't think that's as awesome as you think.
It was a giant cow tongue that you could see, and then he cut off pieces of it, and we ate it. And I was like, I gotta try this. And I was like, this is not good.
What did he teach?
Social studies.
Okay.
He was awesome, though. And
Sure.
And then a couple years ago, I did have a dried cricket at the Franklin Institute. It was like an adults' night thing.
You were supposed to, though.
It was. I knew it was safe.
Okay. Some but desiccated I tried one. Cricket you found it was like in an
seasoned,
ashtray.
Yeah, they had like seasoned crickets. And so I tried one, and it was like they were dried up. They were dead.
How was that?
It honest to God tasted like popcorn.
Okay.
So I could see why people eat them. High nutritional value and doesn't taste that bad if you season it.
I don't know. I don't know that I've eaten a lot of different things, but nothing that I consider terribly weird. Like sea urchin roe. You know what I mean? It was
right.
Like one that I was like, oh, God. And after I tried it a second time, I was like, I'm never doing that again. But I feel like that's not weird because lots of people eat it on purpose.
Right.
You know, Dave? Weird.
Yeah, that's
thing?
Kind of the way. That's kind of the way I feel. I mean, one time I had worked with a guy who was, you know, from China, and he invited me to dim sum with him. And it was like uber authentic. I was the definitely the only person there speaking English. Mm-hmm. And they brought the cart around, and he was like, okay, I'm going to take things off of the cart. You're going to eat them, and then I'm going to tell you what they
That's smart, though.
A little out of order, but okay.
I think that's smart, though.
And I was like, okay, fine. And there was some strange things in there. There were like fish eyes, and there was the one thing that was like the most sort of standard that we got a lobster, but then he cracked it open and he was like, you have to eat the brain.
Fuck
the brain of the lobsters. And then, you know, just shark fins and all kinds of stuff. So, but like millions of people are in another country going like, yeah, this stuff's fantastic. So I can't really say.
And it is more your brain that like tells you don't eat like this. That's gross.
Yeah, generally listen to that.
No, what I'm saying, if you don't know what it is and you try it and you go, this is really good. And then you find out later. Oh, well,
yeah, there's probably people out there going, the weirdest thing I ate was Velveeta, but there's people in America eating it all the time.
That's not even food. So yeah.
What does lobster brain taste like?
It's gross.
Okay, then.
Seems like it'd be mushy.
I can't eat brain. I cannot force my – that is an automatic gag reflex. Oh, also, I had like frozen and rethawed durian fruit.
Oh, yeah.
Which
that's
was horrifying. It was terrible.
I mean, I've had haggis, but I actually really like haggis. Yeah, that's not – to me, that's not weird, though.
All right. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Thanks for getting
we
things
do
gross.
Sometime, someday, we'll do a taste test.
Oh, God.
The
you're
three
right.
of
we
us.
We should.
No.
Moving on, Dave. Yeah, right. Dave never
sure,
turns
well,
down a challenge.
I'm also going to visit Australia.
Uh-oh.
Land down under.
We got a theme going here.
Yeah, what's up?
But I'm going to visit the U.S. Embassy in Australia because...
Bit of a cheat, mate.
Yeah, they kind of made an oopsie. They accidentally sent out an email that they weren't supposed to. They were kind of goofing and... Well... I guess I'll just read what it says here. The U.S. Embassy apologizes after mistakenly sending a Cookie Monster cat invitation. The U.S. Embassy in Australia issues lighthearted apology on Monday for an invitation to a cat pajama jam featuring a photo of a cat dressed as a Sesame Street character, Cookie Monster, that they sent out in email. And it had an RSVP button, and there was no cat pajama jam.
Pajama jam.
No pussy party.
So the statement was, we are sorry to disappoint those of you who are hoping to attend this, quote, cat pajama jam party, but such an event falls well outside our area of expertise.
No, Dave.
Dave, there's a reason that Sean and I are like...
Can I tell you something straight out?
Sure.
We have covered... That story has come up in a Three for the Road.
Oops.
On the show you're on
but
right
not-
now.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm serious. Now, you're a busy man, Dave.
I had this loaded for last week, too.
And
I was going to say, it's been...
I had no judgment. There's no judgment.
That's
Dave
right.
is doing two shows.
Absolutely not.
Sometimes three shows a week.
And it wasn't covered in the meat of the show.
That's right. He is the hardest working man in Lehigh Valley show business. You know what, folks? Dave, we salute you. That is worth a reminder. The cat party. Go ahead,
what
Dave.
I wanted to do was I wanted to talk about embarrassing email
situations.
There
we go. Okay. I've got one. If you want, I mean, I'll throw myself to the dogs if you want.
I've got one.
I don't know that I have one.
Do you want to lead off, Dave? Since
yeah
I'll answer. I'll answer my own question. So I was working at a very established gambling hall in the state of New Jersey, mm-hmm. and I was managing concerts that were performing there, and Foreigner was performing, and it was like the week before the show, and I was running out the door, and I got an email that the show was canceled. So what I do is I email all the ticket holders that the show is canceled and it's going to be rescheduled or whatever. And we're talking about well over 1,000 email addresses.
Uh-huh.
It may not sound as bad as it actually was, but I emailed everybody instead of blind copying everybody.
Oh my God.
So everybody got access to every single ticket holder's email address.
Wow.
And I got it happened, and it was less than 5 minutes before I realized I had done something horrible, and I need to walk back to my office because I have a ton of cleanup to do.
Oh, that
people
sucks.
Were like, "This is a breach of my privacy," yeah, and they're replying all.
Of course they are
writing back to me. So it's like exponentially exploding.
Just a
that's
mushroom
when you just
cloud.
Close down your email.
I think that's when you just keep
just
on walking into the Atlantic. How long would you say the tendrils of that problem followed you around before it was like, all right, I'm clear of the blast zone now?
Like 3 months, because I had to, like, I was writing apology emails, like, individually to the different people that were, then I was having to issue compensation for some people, and it was... For like a 1 second, it's funny how these email things, it's like 1 second of bad judgment just hang forever.
Jill, do you have one like that?
I can't think of one. I mean, I've definitely sent emails to the wrong person, like especially with autocomplete.
Yeah.
I've sent them to people, like I've sent things to clients who, like that were actually for other clients, but it's never been anything bad where someone's been like, where it was an upsetting thing or something that was obscene or anything. So I can't really think of anything.
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay.
It's not obscene at all.
Right.
It's just straight up humiliating. And it's
sort of sweet, though.
Well.
Do I know it? I know it,
yes,
right?
You are. Based on what you just said, you do. Here's the scenario, Jill. I'll tell you pretty much because Dave had a front row seat to this, as it were. You know what a listserv is, right?
I feel like I did at one point, but.
Basic idea through my former, you know, where we graduated from, they put together this huge email sharing list.
Okay.
So everybody, I don't even know, David, could you see the email addresses or are they just all in there? I don't know. But I think basically, if you didn't do anything otherwise, you could send an email on this little thing to everyone.
Right.
Or you make sure to specify, send it to this, right?
Right.
So I was going through a breakup. But what happened was I was just very, very depressed. It was in that, like, mid-20s malaise of, like, college is over. Now what am I doing with my life? Everything is shit.
Right.
And I got dumped. You know, a down point. And there was this person who shall remain nameless who's always been sort of I don't know, like, not the most respected friend, you know? He was always kind of...
Right.
Like a fringe.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And fringe guy.
An eager person, but didn't always mesh with the group and
right,
whatever.
Gotcha.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm getting dumped, and I'm like, you know what? You know who I always treat like crap? This person. I gotta reach out, because I'm, you know, if you're going to lose somebody, reach out for the people who's always been there for you. When you're in grief,
right,
you think like a moron.
Right, absolutely.
So I wrote this thing, like, hey, I don't even remember some because I've blocked it out.
Right.
But like, you know, I'm going through something right now. I'm going through a breakup. And I'm trying to think about the people who've been there for me. That whole deal, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I write this thing, and I flatter myself that I'm an okay writer, and this was like me being emotional. So I'm like,
right.
Hey, you're there. And man, I just want to let you know. You know, that whole deal.
I love you, man.
Well, you know. And then I'm like, it's just a hard time right now for me. Side note, in college, I was an enormous douchebag. Like, right. I had my good points, but I was kind of a prick.
Hard to imagine.
Right. I'm way nicer now. I should give you some idea about what a dickhead I was in college. So there are, I'm sure, dozens of people who probably at some point in their lives are like, I fucking can't wait for that guy to embarrass himself. I hope fuck him, you know?
Okay.
Back to the thing. I send the email, and as soon as I hit send, and it says, like, your email has been sent to the listserv.
Oh, my God.
Jill, I emailed everyone who had ever been in our program.
Oh, my God.
Everyone who was currently in the program and plenty of faculty and staff who were, like, automatically on the program. So I broadcast this thing
to everyone. That's amazing.
And I got, like, 3 or 4 responses. Like, 2 were, I think, I don't know if it was Dave or other guys in my friend group. They're like, you know you sent that to everybody, right? And then one, and this was even worse. I got one from this really nice girl who I knew fairly well in college. Who's just sent, like, a really nice thing. She's like, hey, I'm really sorry for what you're going through. If you want to hang out,
oh,
you know, let me.
That was nice, though.
It is, but I was like, oh, God.
Well, yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, you just want to bury your head in the sand at that
eggs.
Point.
And it's nothing against her. It was a beautiful thing to do to someone who was humiliated.
Right.
But that was something where I realized, like, any mystique, I mean, you know,
right.
I'm sure that I overinflated my worth there. Everybody does that.
Right.
Any mystique I had is like, that guy was pretty cool. Gone.
Right.
That was comeuppance from hell. That was everybody getting to see me go like, you got dumped.
Well, especially because you know that some of those people were like, I don't think this was an accident. I think this was a cry for help.
And there were plenty of those people that were like, I don't need a Christmas present this year because that guy sucks. And then I lied and told her like, oh, I was drunk. I was not drunk. I was dumped and depressed.
Well, that's like anytime anyone gets caught doing it, I was drinking.
Right,
of course. I blame it on
I may have been, but I was 25 or whatever. There's no way I was I was, you know, if I was drinking, it was incidental.
That's
I was drinking funny. After.
Right. Oh, sure.
Anyway, sorry if I lied to anybody about that, but woo. Anyway, I married her, so that works
it
out.
It all worked out. What did you bring to the table aside from
I think of what have mine. Maybe once a month and just go
well,
like,
that's a big one. Yeah.
Like,
that's
ooh, Dave, do you have that with yours, even though it wasn't quite as personally embarrassing?
I always teach that lesson, like, to my supervisors at work, like, when they're doing email course. Like, I always tell that story as, like, a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Ugh,
I don't talk about mine except to, like, my friends and Kate, but
very cringy.
You get dumped. It's a really dark time for me. Do you know how many years it took for that to be funny? All right, here's what I've got. Let's change the subject. You know what I have today, guys?
Yeah, what'd you bring?
I have a mission. I have one mission today, and that is to totally ruin the phrase cash flow for both of you.
Okay.
All right?
Yikes.
And I'm going to do it by way.
Impossible.
I'm going to do it by way of soccer. Because
okay.
I find that sport awful. So, I caught this story a few days back, and it blew my mind what a rabbit hole it led me down. All right, you ready for the headline, since we did that with Jill's too?
Yes.
By the way, is it the soccer club, is it Real Madrid, or is it like something like fancy like Real Madrid?
It is. It's Real.
Real.
It's Real.
Real.
Yeah. All right, see, I already fucked it up.
Well, it's Spanish.
Hey, I'm really sorry, you guys. I've been mispronouncing things lately. It's a really tough time.
This is the Real Madrid.
Yeah, this is the Real Madrid right here.
Some imitation.
This Madrid right here. Okay, Real Madrid soccer club is testing TV urinals in their home stadium.
Have a definite first thought that comes to my mind. So, yes, what's
well,
up?
I mean, it's you've gone to a urinal and had a TV in front of it, right?
Or like a game. Watch.
Well, but hold on.
So that's why I'm not shocked. I know there's got to be more to this.
But yeah, no. The special pee-pee posts, you're welcome, are they're fairly standard wall-mounted basins with slightly up-tilted screens on top that play what, Jill?
The game.
Wrong! They play ads, and nothing but ads. Lovely ads for your whizzing pleasure and profit. Never forget profit. And the idea is sort of insidious and brilliant. The Real Madrid is the second club to do that, with the first having been convinced by this urinals company. And it's the data that drives the story for me. Owners are whizzing by a lucrative advertising opportunity. Apparently, data shows a remarkable kind of effectiveness of an ad hitting a guy during the 30-odd seconds he's doing his business. So if you can get his undivided attention for 30 seconds, there's some great turnaround, and where better to do it than there. So Swiss Invent, the inventor company, claims that, quote, while peeing, men spend an average of 30 seconds staring down and not focused on anything else. The seemingly small window of time is apparently very valuable if you can find a way to capture the attention of the urinal user, and these screens do just that. Evidently, the timing of the whole deal means there is really only time for two or three really short commercials. But what a genius idea! Just plow the ads right at us when we're focused. First of all, focused on what we're doing, but also focused on definitely not looking anywhere else in the men's bathroom. It's a freaking thing. Curious about your reactions first.
Well,
I
have a quick question, though. So where's the screen in relation to the
picture a urinal. Down. Picture a urinal.
I see one every day.
Okay. Top of the urinal is usually flat, and then like the pipes come out of the middle. Instead of that, it's set up so that there's nothing coming up through the top. It's a screen, sort of tilted at like maybe a 45-degree angle.
So you are looking down on the screen.
Yeah.
And presumably like, keeping an eye on what everything... for yourself, make sure
everything's good.
Okay. Okay. I just, because I don't.
Yeah, it's not like you're looking up at a screen while business goes on below. It's sort of like you can.
Right.
It's like a urinary bifocal situation.
Yeah. My first two thoughts are, one, it doesn't sound as fun as the games that they came up with for over here with stadiums and men's urinals.
Am I giving you the face?
Yes, I guess you are. And second, I'm glad that I'm a woman and we don't have to deal with this crap. Just pee in peace.
Pee in peace, huh?
That's all I need.
Dave, reaction?
Yeah, I mean, there's just such a lot of urinal protocol out there, and you really only have the couple options of dead ahead, up, or down.
That's right.
And so, like, that's all you have.
Right.
It's weird to pull out your phone and look at your phone while you're, like, that's just not something that's going to happen. So
yeah, don't do that shit.
I mean, I guess a commercial is better than nothing.
Better than nothing, you said?
Yeah, I mean, watching a commercial is better than just staring at a brick wall or whatever. So, I mean, okay, great. I mean, it'd be nicer if you showed the game with, like, a little ad in the corner, maybe, but...
Well, maybe the encourage thing, they're not trying to say, like, just stay right here.
Right.
They also want you to keep moving along.
Yeah, I guess.
But, like, it's 30 seconds. You really need to watch... Like, I don't
I'll
understand why
this.
People check their phones when they're going to the bathroom. Like, just 30 seconds. Just
obsessively, I do.
Pee, wash your hands, and then check the phone.
Well, I definitely, like, sterilize the phone, you know, and whatever. But the issue in a men's bathroom, Jill, because we're not peeing in peace, if you give us any shiny object to look at that is directly in front, we're going to take it. I have studied, like, the same, you know, what do you call it? Like, the same cinder block. For days, because I've always gone into the same bathroom and in the same like the same urinal. You know what I mean?
Right.
So put something shiny there. Oh my God. We'll
just,
gleefully like, okay, I'll look right at that
but
shit.
You're a dude. Like, don't you already have like a shiny object to just stare at while you're peeing?
Have you ever seen a penis? What are you talking about?
Like, I mean, would you be focused on just that and that alone?
First
like,
of all,
pee.
I have no condition that would make it especially shiny while I'm just peeing.
I'm just saying.
You mean just look at the arc of the urine? So, well, you know what? I guess that gets dull after a while, Jill.
I guess.
We're coming to that now. We're going to some
Well, don't
weird
they have
territory.
Games now, Dave? Don't they have games in some of the stadiums where the game is like, I don't know, it's almost like a potty
that.
Trainer?
I've never seen that, but I make my own games.
Dave comes
like...
in with like a little cornhole kind of thing. Like, just
no,
puts,
I go,
puts
no,
it
I'm
in
like,
the...
disintegrate the urinal cake game.
Of course. Blow a hole through the middle if you can.
right. Like, how much can I break off of this thing?
I mean, wouldn't that be more fun than watching an ad? Like, make it a game, I feel like.
I don't know. Well, depending on the bathroom, some urinals are set up, and I love how granular we're getting here. Some urinals are set up.
I'm getting educated because I don't know.
Some are set up so where, like, it's to the floor.
Okay.
So it's like this, it almost looks like a water slide that someone's glued to the wall. And so you don't want to necessarily like stare straight down at your feet. You're busy enough trying to make sure splash doesn't get on your shoe because you're pissing right at your shoes.
Right.
And some of them, you know, people are gross. So if you see like gum and cigarettes at the bottom, you want to go like, let me move the cigarette butt around. Like I'm trying to forget that I'm here.
Right.
You know? So there's that scenario going on. And I feel like maybe we were encountering a ladies' room bit of urban legend. Like, you know, the guys have like little games and like water wheels that they can turn what they're doing.
No,
we just have these little miniature garbage cans. The boys have amusement parks over there. But can I move something along here to something that might be more up your alley then?
I have so many questions. But yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay, so I promised a rabbit hole, or rather I referenced a rabbit hole, because when I started looking up ads that went on in bathrooms, I found all kinds of shit, if you will pardon the pun.
When you say ads, I'm sorry, do you mean TV ads or?
No, I just mean advertising specifically meant to appear in bathrooms.
Okay. Cool.
Public bathrooms.
Got it.
Okay. So what I would like to do, based on the amazing shit that I found, was put it to you, Jill, and you, Dave, to determine which of these ads is culled from real-world water closet advertisements and which are just stinkers that I made up all by myself. Are you ready to play Truth or Bullshit Bathroom Edition?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
Yes, of course you are. What I'm going to do is go back and forth between the two of you. When you get, you know, it's a true or false thing. It's truth or bullshit. So Jill gets one, Dave gets one, and so on. If there is need for a tiebreaker, don't worry. Ka-chang, I've got you covered. Are we ready?
Yep.
All right, Jill.
Okay.
One clever powder room ad campaign for Kleenex centered around the soap dispensers at the sinks. Each dispenser was made to look like the top half of a miserably sick man's face, with red, watery, staring eyes and a comically enlarged, swollen red nose placed just right so the liquid soap that came out of the bottom of the dispenser appeared to be snot. So it looked like you're getting snot out of the nose instead of soap out of the dispenser. The tagline on each soap dispenser, a simple, got flu? Real or bullshit?
I'm going to say real.
That is real. That is a real Kleenex advertisement for some bacterial whatever soap. So well done. That is 1 point for Jill. Dave, are you ready?
Yes.
Check out this odd move by Scope. To advertise their line of single-use travel toothbrushes, ads featuring moment before the kiss scenes from couples on dates. So a lot of these romantic-looking images of couples leaning in, lips parted, about to kiss, were placed next to the sinks in successful restaurant chains across several states. Below the happy couples was an actual-size image of the tiny toothbrushes and the text, "It feels great to feel sure." Real or bullshit?
I mean, sure, it sounds fine. Yeah, it sounds like something that would be there. Sure. Yes, real.
Why are you laughing over there, Jill?
Dave.
Well, it's bullshit, Dave. I'm so sorry. That is just too perfect to ever have happened. But feel free, if anybody wants to contact me from Scope or Crest or any of the competitors, I've got plenty of ideas about how to get toothbrushes in our public bathrooms. Jill, are you ready for your second truth or bullshit?
Yes.
Men's hygiene company Braun, which I always want to talk about, Lloyd Braun from Seinfeld. Anyway, Braun came up with a loo-scented strategy wherein electric shavers were advertised to men via installing mirrors over a row of public restroom urinals. Each urinal had a mirror up top. These clever mirrors were decorated with various beard and mustache shapes so that anyone looking forward would see the facial hair shapes superimposed over their own faces. And the tagline for the campaign, "Don't shave it, style it." Truth or bullshit, Jill?
I'm gonna say bullshit.
It's true.
It is true.
Well, it's not a good, but I'm just
I
thinking.
Want that.
Isn't that clever?
I'm just thinking, guys are different heights. Like, what if you?
I know, and I was having fun picturing somebody who's like a little guy who's got like a beard on his head.
Yeah.
Like he's got like a beard on the top of his head, or like a mustache on his eyes.
Yeah.
But you would inevitably stand on your tippy toes to make it line up.
Yeah,
you
try to make it work.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you're tall, you
for
squat
sure. Yeah,
squat down
definitely.
While you're peeing, which is a dangerous game.
I wonder
game,
what height
friendo.
They chose.
I don't know.
Probably whatever the average height is.
Probably. Let's look into that for me.
Yeah, I'll do some research.
Dave, you ready?
Sure.
Canadian pool hall and supply company Roxy Pool advertised an upcoming nine-ball tournament by designing urinal cakes shaped like pool balls, dropping them in public urinals with a small promotional strip atop the porcelain, encouraging men to, quote, practice your shot now. Nearby posters featured matching images of nine balls and information on the tourney. Truth or bullshit?
I'm talking like this is like a tweener on me. I'll go true.
It is. It is true. And man alive, how much fun would that be? To be like, play pool with my pee. No, Jill, you look unconvinced.
I mean, I can't really aim it, so sure, it sounds like it would be fun if you could.
But what if you could? Right, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Please. That's why I'm saying I'd want there to be games all the time when I.
Wouldn't
go to
it be
public
fun
restroom.
Too if they did that one like they do at the boardwalk where you hear a bell and then you and all the other guys are trying to at the same
yeah.
time.
The more you pee, the faster it goes.
Right
into the
like,
clown's mouth.
Exactly right. Into the clown's.
It's like racehorses above the urinals.
And Jill, it's your turn, right?
Yes.
Okay, third question. Here's one for Kleenex flushable wipes. Toilet stalls at major sporting and shopping venues across the country were briefly dressed up like tiny, homey bathrooms at home. Miniature Venetian blinds along the walls, faux windows, tiny decorative vases, fluffy throw rugs, matching seat covers, the works. With sample packets of wipes in small dispensers inside the stall door, made to look like crocheted wall hangings, of course. The packages sported prominent copy that read, "Feel more at home wherever you go." Truth or bullshit?
Where did you say they were? This was?
They were major sporting and shopping centers.
I'm gonna
sporting
say
shopping venues. It is true. They actually did it. You have to look online. They're like, there's like a row of little toilet stalls made up to be. Anyway, so that's still a score of 1-1. Dave, ready for your third question?
Yeah.
Here we go. This one is for, actually ate at this place, for a Portland, Oregon-based vegan/vegetarian restaurant called Maggie's Buns. Ads in several sports arenas, including the Trailblazers Moda Center and Providence Park, featured the Maggie's Buns giant veggie burger logo on the ceiling above the stalls, accompanied by large block letters proclaiming, "Everything moves a little better with help from Maggie's Buns." Truth or bullshit?
Oh, God. Please let that be bullshit.
That is bullshit. Good catch, Dave.
Thank goodness.
But don't you want it? Don't you want it?
Oh, yeah.
I want it. Make me laugh in there. Help shake things loose. Jill, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Fourth question. Payless Shoes came up with this one. Images of particularly comfy-looking, sensible shoes were placed, stuck, whatever you want to call it, were placed on the floor just in front of ladies' toilet stalls, like just in front of the toilet itself inside the stall.
Got it.
In several Denver, Colorado malls. So inside the bathroom, inside the stall, picture of shoes. Various messages accompanied the pictures with friendly copy like, "Next stop, BOGO," and "Comfy shoes make all the difference," to encourage shoppers to head to Payless after doing their business. Truth. Or bullshit?
I'm going to say it's real.
It is bullshit. I got you with the BOGO, didn't I? I got you with the BOGO.
It's a good idea.
I should be in marketing. I should be in toilet marketing.
It's a good idea.
When you think of bathrooms, think of Sean. All right, Dave, you ready for question four?
Sure.
And if you're anything like me, you're going to be stunned that we've gone this long without a beer ad. But here it is. Eisenbaum Strong Golden Ale put up ads in sports arena men's rooms featuring an image of a bottle of their beer above the urinal flush handle, while in the urinal itself, images of webbed cracks in the porcelain were affixed to simulate wildly powerful pee streams. So you're picturing this, like, it looks like smashed porcelain. And the text right below the cracks proclaimed, "When we say strong beer, we mean it. Truth or bullshit, Dave?"
I know for a fact that that's true.
Wow. Well, it is true. Have you seen that ad, Dave?
No.
You just feel
it? Just kidding.
You can feel it? You're like, totally.
It was in my bones. I knew it.
Okay, so
I can visualize it. I don't know.
It's one more question for each of you. So, Jill, you need to get this right.
So I can be two?
To stay in the game.
One behind him?
No, you'd be two. It'd be three. Oh, he just got a...
Yeah, three.
Never mind. Jill, you have to get this point and then hope that I'll just give you a bonus point. Okay. I saw a wild German restroom-centered advertising campaign for a popular German horror channel on TV, by the way. Can you imagine? The interactive-style ad was placed in many larger local venues in urban Hamburg and involved the overhead bathroom lights in the bathroom going out upon the bathroom door closing behind the patron, whereupon a row of black lights then popped on, which would make fake smears of blood and wild gory splatters appear on the walls, and text along the mirrors lit up that would show the channel's logo, and text that translated into English says, "See what others don't see. 13th Street, the action and suspense channel." Truth or bullshit?
I'm going to say that's bullshit.
It's true. Jill, it's true!
Sick, man.
Germany is like, you want some shit? You want to see some shit?
So then you have to basically...
go to the bathroom and use everything with, like, purple lighting.
Well, not purple lighting. You then have to see where everyone, like, where these remnants of pee everywhere.
I suppose.
Nasty.
You're nasty. Yeah,
you're lucky if it's just pee. Jeez.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Dave. Last question. Let's just see if you can extend your lead.
Yeah.
Last up. Glade finally makes an appearance to advertise their new Hawaiian Breeze scent of air fresheners. Glade took dozens of grocery store bathrooms and installed wall sticker murals of Hawaiian beach, luau, and other tropical scenery, and piped in soothing ukulele music, along with small air freshener samples hanging from plastic trees by the sinks. Posters made to look like travel ads sported still more Hawaiian scenery with the text, "Give your bathroom a touch of paradise." Truth or bullshit, Dave?
So you're trying to appeal to my...
it's lined up this way.
It's bullshit. That's
it
bullshit.
Is bullshit, but a great idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's the most fun.
Thank you. Shut up, Dave. All right, because Dave's got an attitude, I'm gonna bring up the tiebreaker here, and this is for all the marbles.
Oh, nice.
Because it's for 5 points. Let's see who can get closest. What do you think of your smart mouth now, Dave? Okay. As you all probably know, there's been a lot of controversy out there about toilet paper and how best to hang the toilet paper. Like, what's the right way to hang toilet paper? Jill, what's your take on the correct methodology of toilet paper? How should it hang and be pulled?
Well, I said I'm one of the few people that switched. I used to be an under, and now I'm an over.
Now you're an over? Okay. Yeah. Dave?
I felt shamed into it.
Well, what do you feel in your heart? Under or over?
Now, actually, over. Okay. But it doesn't bother me either way. I'm not like, ah.
Right.
I don't, like, change it like people used to do in my bathroom.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, I'm on the record as an over, and yeah. I will change it in your bathroom if it's an under. I'll fix it for you.
As am I. I am an over. The as it turns out, there is, maybe you already knew this, let's just put everyone on the same page, though, there is a right way. There is a definitive right way to do this, according to the first ever patent for a roll of perforated toilet paper filed under the name of Seth Wheeler. And what an amazing under-heralded hero Mr. Wheeler is. The tissue is shown in multiple diagrams pulling from the top down over the front of the roll, settling the damned issue once and for all. My question to you, and we'll see who gets closer, when was that patent filed? I will start if you want to just try for the year, but I've got a specific date if we need to drill this down. What year was the patent, the first patent for perforated toilet paper, approved?
I saw this on Drunk History once, and now I got to remember it.
Do your best, Jill. Do you want to write it down and then show me your...
Right, I mean, I was going to say, how are we going to...
Write it down, show me your answers.
Okay, sure.
What was your guess, Jill? Let me see. All right. And Dave? Dave?
I feel like it's like later than...
Okay. Well, Jill is closer. Dave has guessed 1957. Jill has guessed, what is that, 1914?
Yeah, 1914.
It was approved September 15th, 1891.
Wow.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to go ahead and call this a tie because Dave's smart mouth didn't give me the credit that I deserve for my luau bathroom. But this has been a very special edition, very cleanliness, very wash your hands afterwards edition of Truth or Bullshit. Thank you very much. So we'll be right back with Act 3, just a little bit more fun to have before we let you go. Be right back. Those s'mores were amazing, you guys.
I know. I'm so glad that we got to play Mystery Date. I love that game.
I'm so tired, though.
What are we going to do now?
So... Jesse from school told me about this really cool and scary thing that we could try.
Jesse with the rat tail?
Yeah.
Gross.
But I mean, it's braided, so I think it kind of looks, it adds something. So
double gross.
It's where we stand in front of a mirror, turn the lights off, and we say, rate, review, and subscribe 3 times.
Oh my God.
And then the whip around's witch, Scunthorpe, appears, and then she, like, eats your eyeballs.
That's not real.
It's totally real. No, no,
no.
No
way.
She said,
that's
no, she
work.
Said a girl from a school across town did it.
Yeah, right.
Let's try it. Come on.
All right. Turn off the light.
Are you touching me? Are you
no,
holding my hand?
No.
Okay. Who's holding my hand? Okay. Anyway. Okay.
So
on three. One, two.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Come on, Dave.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
It is I, Scunthorpe! Thank you for the patronage! Now give me your eyes!
Ah!
Ah! Oh, Jesus, I'm out!
Wow, that was maybe my favorite break, my new favorite break we've ever taken. What do you think, Jill?
Oh, no. I thought my mind was blown before, but right now, I don't even have a head.
It's like total eclipse of the face.
It's gone.
Gone. Empty.
Left the room.
Nothingness. Never-ending story references.
I'm a spectral right now.
Dave?
Atreus!
Now, I'm guessing... That was the creepy old one-toothed man just now?
Yeah.
Who, like, falls out of the basket and everything?
Yeah.
That was the oldest person I've ever seen.
I don't even know if I got that name right. Was it Atreus?
Atreyu.
Atreyu.
God damn it, Dave.
I like the S on the end. Atreus. Well, not Atreyu. Atreus.
Okay. Well, rewrite. Dave, as long as you're schooling us on the way things should be versus the way things are, can you let us know what's going on in Potadelphia this week?
Yeah, well, we're miserable. I mean, anytime the Eagles lose to the Cowboys, it's misery. But
after last episode, all about a rivalry talk, here we are.
Yeah.
But exciting things are happening. The Sixers just made a huge trade, so we're excited about that. The Phillies are looking to sign a big-time free agent, so we're talking about that. The Flyers are on some crazy winning streak. There's lots of excitement to be had at Potadelphia, and things are rolling along nicely. And actually, Chuck had a very nice interview with Sean McIndoe. There's like several different pronunciations of this gentleman's name floating around, but he recently launched a new book, and we had him on the show last week.
Who was in your penalty box this week, Dave?
Oh, my God, I put John Taffer in the penalty box.
John Taffer?
Bar rescue.
I'm not going to save your damn bar.
Oh,
that's
he's
not
like,
bad.
Yeah, he's like if Dan Aykroyd was a caricature.
You're right. He kind of is. But
it's
yeah,
really
you're
eerie.
Right. I don't embrace problems. I embrace solutions. Now we're going to unveil your new name of your bar. But first, half the people in here are fired. Half of you are fired.
Is eerie.
Why don't you smile? I got this thing. I got the butt flume. What is the thing that he's like forcing people to like walk near each other?
We got this butt flume over here. They're going to be doing shots off a penguin's ass over here. And we're going to call it Images.
John Taffer in the penalty. I love him. I love him. But yeah, why you got to strip all the bars down like that, John? But my favorite is when he got mad at the one. Not going to save your damn bar. Okay. Is it time? For three for the row, we're going to do three for the row now. I'm going to save your podcast. It is that time of the show where we talk about those things that we didn't even have time to talk about during the main part of the show or that didn't fit in with the theme of the show. Each of us has 30 seconds to talk about whatever it is that's burning a hole in our brain. And when that 30 seconds is up, you'll hear something a little bit like this. And that means it is time to move on to the next person. And after we have each gone three times, that's it. Show is over. We have pretty much not really talked about this, but I think the order should probably be like, what, me, Dave, Jill?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, are we good with that, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, so can you bail yourself, Jill? Yep. Or is that okay? So, Jill, you ready?
Well, I'm not going first.
All right, I'm going first. Ask me something.
You ready?
What?
Sean, are you ready?
What?
Sean, are you set?
Huh?
Sean, are you go?
All right, in fall, and I've fallen, and I can't get up news, my God. A woman living in Chesaning, Michigan, I guess, was trapped for 5 days in her own bathtub. Apparently, Allison Gibson has some mobility issues. An initial slip in the tub made it impossible for her to reach her handrail and escape. So there she lay, running hot water when she got cold and drinking cold water when she needed to drink, until an alert postal worker checked on her and spearheaded a rescue. After 4 days in the hospital, she's out feeling all right, but she does plan to install a walk-in tub. But may I suggest a life alert instead and better friends?
That's a shame. Hey, I'm going to talk a little bit about doing things for yourself today, okay? Yeah. So when you walk into an establishment, feel free to not worry about me and let the door close behind you, because I'm an able-bodied human being who can open the door myself. And you know what? Maybe you don't need to take that extra 2 seconds of your day to hold the door open for me. It's fine. Just go in, get yourself a cup of coffee. I'll be fine out here these extra 3 steps, and I'm more than capable of pulling that door open for my damn self.
You're like the only human being who's like, how dare you be nice to me?
The servant of chaos.
they did arrest a woman. I think we talked about it, or somebody talked about it on the show, for putting needles in strawberries in Australia.
Up.
So a 50-year-old woman was arrested. She definitely took the time. She worked for a berry place, and she was putting sewing needles in them. There were 186 incidents worldwide. 77 were reported. Yeah, she just put them in them. What, like?
Hold on. Stop the time. Hold on.
That's all they say. That's all they're releasing.
No, hold on. Hold on. Can we go back for just one sec?
Yeah.
How many cases were there?
In these matters, the primary contaminant was sewing needles, which saw 186 incidents nationwide.
Right, but how many were reported?
In Queensland, 77 were reported.
So hold on. How do they know how many weren't reported?
Well, it just says in Queensland, 77 were reported. And I guess that's where she was. That's where she was arrested.
This story is making me nervous. Okay, I'm going. Can we start?
Yeah.
Okay. And Nature Strikes Back news. Last week, a Japanese man was trampled by a wild boar on his way to work in the suburbs. The man lives and works in a tiny bit outside Fukuoka, Japan, and was caught on video minding his morning stroll business when a loose and very agitated boar came squealing down an alleyway only to crash into and slash at the man with his tusks. The dude was only slightly hurt and also gets to be immortalized online along with his girlish scream, but no word on how much bacon they got from that lawless boar. Suburban boar.
Hey, listen, if you go to a sporting event and you paid for a ticket, you have a right to say whatever you want so long as it's within the levels of common decency. If you want to boo the team, go ahead and boo the team. You want to cheer the team? Go ahead and cheer them. It's up to you. You pay for your ticket. You're allowed to express how you feel about what's going on the field however you want. And don't let national pundits or the national media tell you how you're supposed to feel. Like if you're supposed to feel grateful or some sort of, no. You paid for that seat. You express yourself however you want.
Dave had a bad sports week.
Oh, poor Dave. Okay, so since I'm apparently now the Whip Around's resident Satan, which I'm happy to be, I think it's pretty amazing that The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is like a show that you can readily find and watch, because every other sentence is Hail Satan and like Satanism as a religion. And even though they're getting sued by the Church of Satan, like, listen, you should just be happy that this is like being accepted and people are going to want to join your church. Like, come on, man. It's good press.
Probably they have ulterior motives. Satan motives. Okay, and another national nightmare is over news. Pringles has announced Thanksgiving-flavored potato chips at last. For a limited time, you can skip the awkward family feast and just shove your hand into a tube of crunchy flavors like turkey, stuffing, and pumpkin pie. I don't know if it's spice or just pie. Alas, a few test flavors like green bean casserole and cranberry sauce did not make the cut. And the latest news indicates that maybe the flavors that did make it have already sold out. It's a little unclear. And they apparently sold out in less than an hour. Less than an hour. We want more.
Ugh, gross.
Hey, hey. Much like our autumnal, my autumnal rant. Look, if you're ready for Christmas now, just go ahead and do Christmas. You want to put up a tree? Hey, it's your house. Put up a tree. You want to listen to Christmas music? It's your friggin' car. Play whatever the hell you want in the car. You want to go get a peppermint mocha latte? It's your cup. Fill it with whatever the hell you want. And if that's Christmas joy, well then, hey, be jolly for 2 months out of the year. Who's hurt? Who's harmed by doing that? So enjoy Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't hold the door for Dave when you're getting that.
Yeah. Right. Of course. That's Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Have a Bolton boxes or something.
Just slam it.
So, do you miss me when I'm not here? If you do,
yes.
That's perfectly fine, and as you should. If you've been wondering kind of where I am, I am now on. I'm going to be on the Whip Around every third week of the month. So make sure to mark your calendar. Yeah. Set yourself a little alarm that it's Jill time and here's the thing time.
Yeah, totes. It's a crazy time of year. And I guess that's it, right? For Three for the Road.
Yeah.
I would just like to, can I say one thing to Dave's Christmas thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have we noted, look, people who are getting angry about Christmas decorations and stuff being up.
Right.
I look around at people whose Thanksgiving decorations are shit.
Oh, see.
Can we just admit that to ourselves? Like,
No.
Put away those twinkle lights. I want to decorate with hay.
No, I'm one of those people.
Oh, God.
I have separate autumnal decorations. But I don't get mad at people who want to put up
Christmas
stuff.
Well, then you're not the problem. But it's people who are like, no, I want my hay here. I want my turkey wearing a fucking pilgrim hat. Move those beautiful and convenient, because it's fucking dark outside, twinkle lights. I want to have a cornucopia of wax fruit. Like, this is stupid.
I just have a lot of pumpkins around.
Which is fine. That's totally fine.
But I do feel like...
But if people want to put up twinkle lights, people give them shit.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, you gotta wait to be happy until December. Fuck you, man.
See, I think it's the opposite, because I feel like so much Christmas stuff is out that I feel like November as an autumnal, like, season is getting smushed.
It should.
What?
Thanksgiving ever. Is a shitty alley between the beautiful palaces of Halloween and Christmas.
It's my favorite holiday.
I hate it.
I love it.
We might have to talk about this the next time.
I think so.
I'm coming out.
It's one of the longest days of the year.
Oh, my God. I'm coming out as a Thanksgiving hater.
Oh, I put on my eating pants, and I just relax, and I love it.
Oh, my God.
Drink a lot of wine, eat a lot of food.
I don't know. Dave, are you with me? I feel like in the same vein as it's your cup. Which out of context sounds like it's a gym class thing, but if it's my plate, it's my house, I'll cook a feast whenever the fuck I want. I don't have to wait for some pretend pilgrims to not get slaughtered by the Native Americans, and they would deserve it if they did, to like celebrate. Oh, now I can make what the hell? It's like Taco Tuesday on a grand scale. Like you and not only are you allowed to have a feast, you must have that feast with every political extremist in your family. I don't want to do it anymore.
Well, it sounds like
I've been yelled at Thanksgiving.
Well,
like
it sounds
more...
like your Thanksgivings aren't fun. Mine are always very nice.
I've been yelled at for my turkey carving skills by a step relative.
Oh, I have friends who don't do turkey. They just do seafood. They do a seafood fest.
Okay, well, I guess we will, unless it has to like shuck clams or something. That's why I get yelled at again for my knife abilities. But Thanksgiving...
Can we go back to using a legitimately sharp knife to cut a turkey instead of some sort of like motorized back and forth saw.
We always had that growing up.
I don't trust myself with any blades. Anyone who knows me for very long knows that I'm pretty accident prone with blades. So whatever.
A cranberry sauce from the can, please.
Yes.
That is
none of this fresh stuff.
No. It should have dog food can looking ridges on it.
Yeah.
And if you're really a good American, you slice it like lengthwise.
They're guidelines.
Right. You got to.
Oh, you go lengthwise.
You do lengthwise?
Now listen, you lengthwise it. You got two like half moon looking shapes.
Oh, and then you cut it.
And
down.
Then
yeah,
you
yeah,
cut
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that you've got.
So it's not a full. It's a half moon.
Right. Because don't be classless and go like, here's your bottom of the beer can looking, you know, wafer. You know, little classy.
Right.
One classy step.
Right.
Lengthwise slice.
And it goes.
Dave.
You make
no.
it last longer, too.
Yeah.
It goes farther.
Hey, sure.
Yeah.
Do it however you. Hey, man, it's your cranberry dish.
Right. It's my cup.
You want.
It's my porch. It's my dish.
I'm not hurting anybody.
It's my cranberry dog food. Yeah. And Jill's giving me the sign that we're definitely going on too long. So this might be a supersized episode. We'll see about it. We'll see what happens. We hope you had fun. We certainly did. And we love you. Bye.
Bye.
Best we ever did it, guys.
Merry Christmas.
I mean, it always seems like a good idea at the time to eat a live insect.